The scripture, please, turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, and we'll be reading verses 23 through 31. If you're using a Schofield Bible, page 864. Page 864. Ezekiel 22, verses 23 through 31. We'll read the verses responsively. And let's stand, as we always do, standing for the reading of God's Word. Take note, please, that the 26th verse is the text verse. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken, and the people of the land have used oppression, and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Together also on verse 31. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Let's pray. Father, we anticipate a blessed time now, the preaching of your word. Help it to be all that you'd have it to be. Our preacher needs thy strength and power. We pray that thou wouldst impart to him that which he needs, and we ought to be so very careful to listen. Help that not one moment of anybody's time might be wasted in the services, but we pray that thou wouldst help us to be attentive and bless with thy power. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was a good solo. If the big tall fella had quit interrupting, it would just have been beautiful. I wouldn't take anybody in the world for Ray and Mabel, I guarantee you. We've got the best. I want to talk tonight on the subject, the difference between the holy and the profane. The text is as follows. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have rid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Down through this verse, you find the word profane, or the word profane. Without turning to it, you'll find it in several chapters in Leviticus quite often, the word profane or profaned. Now, the word means, comes from two words, really, which means to cross. One word means to cross over, and another word means a threshold. To cross over a threshold. It was used to describe an unclean sacrifice in the Bible. If, as you know, there are certain things that were supposed to be present in any sacrifice. Certain animals were clean for sacrifice, and certain animals were not accepted for sacrifice. And certain of the animals that were accepted for sacrifice were not without blemish, and so even though their species was acceptable, the individual animal was not acceptable. And any time, or oftentimes, when an unacceptable sacrifice was offered, it was called, this word profane, to cross the threshold, it was called a profane sacrifice. Also, the word is translated partition. To cross over a partition. It's used concerning the Holy of Holies. and the holy place of the tabernacle. Between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was a partition. That partition was broken down when Jesus died on the cross, when the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. But nobody could walk inside of that Holy of Holies except one man, and he could only do so once a year. And anybody else that walked in there, it was profaned. That partition, the threshold of that, if you walked over that threshold, it was profaned. So what God is saying, there are some things whose threshold, over which we're not supposed, someplace we ain't supposed to go. When we do, it becomes profanity or profane. And I want to talk to you tonight on the difference between the holy and the profane. Very interesting. If the word profane is used concerning the sacrifice of an unfit sacrifice, and if that sacrifice or those sacrifices were supposed to picture God's sacrifice of His Son on Calvary, then that means that any other sacrifice except the sacrifice and the finished work of Jesus is profane. That means that any false plan of salvation is profane. That means somebody who says, you get saved by trusting Jesus and joining my church, that's profane. Somebody says, you get saved by trusting Jesus and being baptized in my baptistry, that's profane. Because it is a sacrifice other than the accepted sacrifice by God, even that perfect and complete and once-for-all sacrifice of His Son. And so tonight, after I pray, I want to talk to you about the difference between the holy and the profane. Father, please help us, Holy Spirit, direct this preacher and the hearts of my people and those who've come to share. In Jesus' name, amen. I think one of the great problems for this country is we have broken down the partition between the holy and the profane. I'm a little tired, as I said this morning. I'm a little tired of our White House having no propriety. I'm tired of folks being able to rush in the very presence of our president, who know better and have better, wearing a pair of blue jeans and a turtleneck sweater. There ought to be a certain kind of dignity and propriety and decor and protocol concerning some things in our country. And for some hippie creature to walk in the White House with blue jeans on, and I'm not talking about folks too poor to buy anything better. I'm just simply saying that that propriety is not wrong. learning how to dress the student occasion is not wrong. This thing of all liberty. Liberty is not talking about that. Somebody says, legalism. No, it's not legalism to be appropriate. It's not legalism for a baseball player to wear a uniform. It's not legalism for a policeman to wear a uniform or a badge. It's not legalism for a football player to wear shoulder pads and wear a jersey. It's not legalism. It's not legalism to require a soldier to wear his outfit, to wear his uniform. Not legalism. No, there is a certain kind of a restraint that is godly and that God wants. And our country has seen in the last generation a wicked, vile abuse of so-called freedom and liberty. Turn me down just a touch, not much, just a touch. Now then, we've been right across the street from our church several years ago. A group of hippie characters got an American flag, washing a car with the American flag, and I organized a posse. And we went over and captured the American flag. Nobody's going to wash a car with an American flag across the street from the church I pastor if there's only 12 of them and several thousand of us. I've just got the courage to go over and take care of the situation. But I'm saying we've seen that kind of generation grow up. Now, the truth is they ought to go to jail for taking an American flag. Because that flag has a certain kind deserves a certain kind of a respect and reverence because it represents the 13 original colonies and the 50 states. It represents my country. You don't like my flag? You don't like my country. You profane my flag? You profane my country.
Well, you say, I'll tell you what, I just don't like America. Well, there's an ocean that has ships that leave here every day. And there are international airports every day. Now, the honest, simple truth is, like it or not, it's time America got some respect. I'm tired of calling presidents by the first name. Jerry. Tired of it. You say, well, who do you think he is? It's not who he is. Personally, I think he's a better peanut farmer than president. But that's not the issue. When I went to the White House to meet with the president, I wore a suit. And I wore a tie. And I respected him. And I shook his hand. And I talked to him courteously and kindly. Why? Though he's not particularly the man that I would have chosen for the job, he represents an office that deserves some respect. We've seen, for example, in our psalm books, not unusual for us to check the psalm books and find that some uncouth punk has written a dirty sex word, a four-letter word, in our psalm book. Somebody ought to get a razor strap and put your pants down and apply something to your posterior. I don't believe you'll talk like it. I know. That's your trouble. You're more concerned about restraining crooks than apprehending crooks. Now listen to me. That psalm book it deserves your respect. And to take a book that is written with the old rugged cross in it, and must Jesus bear the cross alone, and amazing grace, how sweet the sound, and songs of God dedicated to the propagation of the Word of God, and write some dirty name in it, is a violation of decency. And it's also a sign of a lack of culture and education and training. And it's a reproach against you and those you call mom and dad and those who you call pastor and church. Young folks, come back in the service. Get those young folks. What do you mean? Go get them. They can't run out of the service like that. That's what we have ushers for. A little weary of kids taking off. That's profane also. When this word of God's being preached, you're supposed to stay inside the auditorium. My friend Bob Keyes, he's in heaven now. And Bob is he's the one who plays tricks on everybody up in heaven. But because he did it down here, Bob was with Gary Coleman, one of my good friends at a football game, watching the Dallas Cowboys play. I said, watching the Dallas Cowboys play. Listen, folks, when something reverent is said, say amen to it. And anyway, the national anthem was played. And Bob and Keyes and Gary Coleman, both of them preachers, they stood. And Gary's a very mild-mannered fella. And Brother Bob was always sort of a brash kind of a guy, good guy. I've known him since he was 9 years old, went to great junior high school with him, high school. And he was my assistant pastor for 3 years. And so they were standing there, doing the national anthem. And the fellow right in front of them didn't stand. Had a earphone and was listening to his transistor radio and kept his hat on. And Bob reached down and grabbed his hat and took it off. And jerked the earphone out of his ear. And grabbed him to the back of the neck and pulled him up. He said, man, get up there, take your hat off, or Gary Coleman here is going to beat the stuffings out of you. Bob's courage was equal to mine. I like what he did. Get up and stand up when the national anthem is played. You're the kind that wouldn't say yes sir, no sir. Your mom and dad to the authority. You're the kind that burned down buildings and wouldn't fight in the war unless you happened to think the war was exactly right. I believe in old-fashioned super patriotism. And I don't believe that a person... 20 years old, hair down to his waist, or its waist, whatever it is, hair down to his waist, never run a hot dog stand, never sold a Big Mac or a cheese quarter pounder, never run a Kool-Aid stand, all of a sudden has enough sense to run the United States government. We've let this thing get so far, it's almost out of hand. A church in Richardson, Texas, pardon me for using the word church, a strip teaser came and stripped as a part of worship service. Profanity. Filth. Garbage. But out here in Munster, Indiana, a certain pastor of a church announced he was preaching a sermon from Playboy magazine. I have one suggestion to that false teacher. Get yourself a Bible and get born again. And don't walk inside a pulpit with a dirty, filthy, rotten, stinking Playboy magazine. Get the Bible and preach the Bible. It's profane. What's going on in many of our church buildings these days? The lady sat right down here. Jim Vineyard loves to tell this story. Sat right here on about second or third row, dedication day of this, dedicated this building. She was a visitor. She was so excited. Jim Vineyard watching her. I didn't see her. Jim Vineyard said she was listening to me preach. And she'd never heard anything like this in her life. You understand what I mean? So, just and he said she got intense. And did not knowing what she did, she took her purse and opened her purse and got a package of cigarettes out. And then took a cigarette and said, you know what she's doing? Took a cigarette out. And then she did it like that. I don't know why in the world you'd do it like that, but did it like that. And then she put it in her mouth, Jim Vineyard said. He said he was praying she'd light it because he wanted to see the tornado that would hit. She did. But as is the case in most of his prayers, it was not answered. But she... She took that cigarette and put it in her mouth and reached for a match, and then the person that brought her punched her in the ribs like that. She shook her head, and she didn't do it. We're shocked at things like that. We're shocked when people would dare smoke a cigarette. We said, this is God's house. And we're shocked. I was in Maryland preaching. Got the town. Maryland. And before I went to the service, I turned on the news. And there was, before the news, there was a group singing. And they were singing a song, Will There Be Any Mogan David Wine in Heaven? That was the song. And I listened to them, and it went on down several times, repeated, Will There Be Mogan David Wine in Heaven? And they got out of the end, and they said, If there is not, who in the H-E-L-L wants to go? Now, for anybody to associate wine with heaven, it's sacrilegious. It's profane. And then they interviewed this fella who was the boss, who was the head of this group, singing group. And they said, the person interviewing him asked the question, oh, don't you think you'll get criticism from people that believe the Bible about that a song? Will there be Mogan David wine in heaven? And the leader said, oh, I don't think so. We're all born again Christians ourselves. Now, one of us ain't. We're stunned at all those things. The American flag being used as an instrument with which to wash a car. We're stunned to think that somebody would go in the house of God and in the name of worship have a stripper come and perform a striptease. We're shocked that a so-called pastor would preach a sermon from the Playboy magazine. We're shocked at that. We're shocked at cigarettes being smoked in church, and we're shocked that Mogan David Wine being mentioned in the same sentence with heaven by somebody who says he's a born-again Christian. But there are several other things apart from these that are more profane than these that people in this room commit almost every week. The Bible lists numbers of things that are profane because somebody has crossed the threshold into an unholy attitude towards something that is holy. For example, this book in the Bible is called holy. And for one not to respect this book is profane. Profane! I mean, for a professor stand up in a seminary and say this book is not all the Word of God, that's profane. It's sacrilegious. And I wouldn't give a dime. Not one red cent. That's because I haven't got one red cent. But I wouldn't give a dime to a school that hired a professor who said the Bible is not verbally inspired by God. Not one dime. But you say it's my old denomination. I wouldn't stay in it. That law! That law! If any professor has taught the young people to shake their faith in this blessed old book. I just double-dogged Darrell Howells Anderson College professor to cast any reflection on this book. I'll guarantee you one thing. If anyhow, then if you even stand up and say this book contains the God gave man the thoughts and man put it down in his own words, you're in trouble. Deep trouble. One of us is leaving. And I've got a suspicion who it's going to be. But you say, Brother Hiles, the men in the Bible, each wrote by according to his own personality. Let me tell you something that you ought to know. This entire book was already finished before God made Adam and Eve. Forever, O Lord, thy word was, is, shall be, settled in heaven. God didn't choose the words to fit the man. God chose the man to fit the word. And God didn't choose Paul and say, here are the thoughts, rather in your own words. God took the words and said, I've got to have a man with a personality and a vocabulary like my word, so he'll write down what's already written in heaven. When God came to Moses and gave Moses the Pentateuch, the Pentateuch was already written. And God just gave it word by word to Moses what was already written in heaven. Sacred. Holy. Profane to say it's not true. It's profane to say it's not verbally inspired. It's profane to say God gave the thoughts and man wrote down the words in their own language. Profane! You say, I just don't much like what you're saying. And if you don't believe that, then I just don't much care whether or not you like what I'm saying. This old country needs to get back to a book that's true and believing it. But you say, I tell you what, I have been to college, I've been to Harvard. We'll have time for you to confess that at the altar when we get through after a while. But if Harvard says the Bible's not true, let God be true and Harvard be a liar. If Princeton says the Bible's not true, let God be true and Princeton be a liar. If Southern Seminary says the Bible's not true, verbally inspired by God, let God be true and Southern Seminary be a liar. If modern scholarship says the Bible's not God's Word, let God be true and let modern scholarship be a liar. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, for anybody not to accept this as God's blessed book, it is profane. It's time America got the difference. Oh, you say amen. Boy, I believe that. Okay, then how much of your time have you spent reading it this week? That's also profane. That's also sacrilegious for you to have this book sitting on your coffee table, pardon me, your carrot juice table at home. For you to have this book sitting on your table at home and for you to spend more time watching your television than living in this book is profane. Sacrilegious. It's time Christians got religion. It's time we learned to love the book. It's time we live the book. It's time we became people of the book. This book is holy. Hey, I want to say very quickly, this building is not holy. Not one time in all the New Testament does God ever mention a building being holy. This book is holy. It's amazing to me. People will become offended because we do a little laughing in church. And yet go home and let this book stay on the coffee table all week long and hardly ever open its pages. God wasn't displeased because we had a little fun. I think Dr. Rice, Wednesday night, that fellow was singing, you done stomped on my horn and smashed that sucker flat. I think Dr. Rice said, St. Peter, you know how very well. I think he chuckled. But this book is sacred. This book is very sacred. That's why when it's being preached, you ought to listen. Saw two females sit back there a while ago while a man of God was preaching from this book. A man of God who he and his wife and family have left their country and gone across the ocean to give their lives, their entire lives in a foreign land, for they knew not the language and knew not the customs and are sacrificing their entire lives to get this gospel to a heathen race. They sat back there and misbehaved during the whole service. That's sacrilegious against the Word of God. I was telling them some of the fellows in study a while ago about it. And one of them said, well, he said, Brother Hiles, there are young folks sit up here in this section all the time that do that. In the first place, unattended by an adult, you're not supposed to be in the balcony. I'm not trying to cast reflection on any section of this church. I don't care if you're sitting up here, sitting back here, sitting up here, sitting here, or sitting here. When you come to God's house and this book is preached, you're supposed to listen to what the preacher says. When this book is preached, it's sacrilegious. It is profane for you not to sit up and listen. And by the way, I think it's discourteous for a man to prepare a sermon and stand up and preach and you not even listen to it. What does this book mean to you? What does this book mean to you? I just helped to bury a man last Wednesday afternoon that lived in this book. And when you come to the place where he came last Monday morning, about 1:30 in the morning, and you face your God, and you breathe your last breath on the face of this earth, you're going to wish you had learned this book. And if you don't, you're not going to enjoy heaven very much when you get there. I said to some folks, I want this microphone, fellas. I said to some folks the night while I was preaching over in Illinois, in Pekin, Illinois, Friday night. I said one good thing about walking with God and living in prayer and praise and the Word of God is that you won't have to change much of your schedule when you die and go to heaven. You see, folks, between the time that a person dies and the time of the first resurrection, he doesn't have his glorified body yet. And he's not like Jesus yet. And he's not completely grown in grace. The Bible says that folks in heaven are still not. John Rice is still a minor. Now, he doesn't sin, but he's not fully grown yet. He's about as near grown as anybody I ever saw go up there. But he's not grown yet because he doesn't have his glorified body. In Romans chapter 8, verse 23, it says, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. That word adoption means majority. It means opposite of minor. You're growing up. You're grown up now. And so we groan, waiting to grow up, to become not minors anymore. What is that? The redemption of our body. When is the redemption of our body? When Jesus comes for us. And so, you get to heaven, you're not all of a sudden totally like Jesus. There's absence of sin in heaven, but there's not the presence of total maturity yet. Which means when you get to heaven, you're going to enjoy heaven as much as you enjoyed the activities that they have there on earth. You're not going to all of a sudden enjoy the Word of God if you didn't enjoy it down here. Let's suppose, for example, that you are watching television, and when you die, when you're watching that book, you're trying to find out who killed J.R., and other things you ought not to have anything to do with, and Love Boat, and all the rest of these I have seen advertised. I'm never available to the television set during the prime time, but these filthy, vulgar, unbelievably sensuous programs. And you're watching that as a Christian. And you're watching it. And all of a sudden, a pain hits you and you die. You think you're going to start shouting all of a sudden, don't you? Glory to God! Hallelujah! I'm saved! I'm redeemed! You're not going to do that. You're going to walk in heaven like this. What am I doing? Everybody's saying, hallelujah! Glory to God! Praise the Lord! Woo! And you're going to say, whoopee. Whee. Amen. What you better do is you better become acquainted with this book. You better live in it. Read it. Love it. Memorize it. Not to do so is profane. There's something else that's so holy to cross its threshold is profane, and that is God's house. Holy. I'm not talking about a building, because God's house in this age is not a building. God's house is the body of each believer. 1 Corinthians 3:16, 1 Corinthians 6:19, 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 17 teach us that the temple of the Holy Spirit in this age is the body of the believer. And that means your body is sacred. Listen to me. For you to do wrong against your body is profane. It is more sinful. Pardon me. It is not as sinful. That lady sitting down here on dedication day of this building went ahead and smoked that cigarette as it is for you to go outside and smoke it. It's not the smoking a cigarette in this building, though we wouldn't permit it. That's so bad. It's the fact that you would let something like that unclean enter into the temple of the Lord, which is your body. That's what's wrong with drinking. That's what's wrong with ladies or females exposing their thighs and midriff, their stomach, navel, the cleavage of their breasts. That's what's wrong with tight sweaters. That's what's wrong with being poured into a pair of pants. Ladies and gentlemen, there are still some things sacred in this world. And the body is one of them. You say what you want to say, but God Almighty, if He says one thing in this book, God teaches us that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the body is sacred. Especially, is that true about the body of a lady? Now listen carefully to me for a minute, young people especially. The body of a lady is sacred because it is that instrument by which God has caused the human race to reproduce. It's a type, or it is typified in the Bible by the Holy of Holies. Now, hear me carefully. In the Old Testament, temple, now bear in mind, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? All right, then if it's a temple, then the Old Testament temple was symbolic of the New Testament temple. Now, the New Testament temple had a place where a third of it, one entire room, where nobody could go. It was too sacred. Only one man could go there. Now, listen carefully. Not a single Jew but the high priest ever walked inside that Holy of Holies. The Old Testament temple. God chose one man, chosen by God, who could walk inside that Holy of Holies. Young ladies, your body is a temple. And your body is so sacred that it is likened to the Old Testament temple. And as only one man was supposed to enter into the Holy of Holies, you are supposed to save your body, young people, for one man. No Jew but one man could look upon the mercy seat. Only one man could see the Ark of the Covenant. Only one man could walk through the veil. Listen. Your body, young lady, is sacred. Nobody has a right to put their lips against yours except the man God chooses. Did you hear what I said? 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 I said, if the temple of the Old Testament, sacred and holy, is a type of the body of the believer, only one man could enter in there. Only one man has a right to touch your lips, young ladies. I cannot believe, sometimes, that this is America. I was watching a newscast and saw Playboy magazine advertised on a Chicago channel. I could not believe it. That smutty filth and garbage advertised. Taking the holy veil. That separates man from God's holy temple and stripping it naked. You have no right to rent the veil. God only has a right to rent the veil. You'd run around here showing your thighs, tight sweaters to bare your breasts. It's profane. Profane! Young men, I may not change a one of you, but I'll guarantee you one thing. Every time you touch the body of a young lady that is not yours, I'll guarantee you one thing. I can cause you to know that over the aisle stands in the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Hammond and thunders out, it's wrong! You're not going to change me. No, sir. But I can wash my hands of your blood. And I can look at my God someday and say, God, I told them the truth that a woman's body is sacred. Take your dirty hands off of that pimple. It's not yours. Cover it, young lady. It's holy. But you sit with a hound. I'm just over sex. Nothing burns me anymore in that kind of talk. That affects me like somebody says, I'm one of those that needs 8 hours sleep. We're all the same. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Don't you think that those Jewish people had a desire and a craving to walk inside that Holy of Holies? Don't you think they would look at that veil and wish they could see what's inside? As that high priest would come out of the Holy of Holies after having sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat on the 10th day of the 7th month, don't you think that they saw him come out? Don't you think they'd ask, what did you see? What's it like in there? And as he described Ark of the Covenant and that mercy seat, pure gold, and those beaten cherubim on either end of the mercy seat, don't you think that when he described it, don't you think a Jew said, boy, I'd like to go in there. Boy, I'd like to see what's in there. I'm just one of those that has an overwhelming desire and passion to go in there. You can't go in there. Only one man could go in there. And I'll preach it. I'll preach it. If I get fired, I'll preach it. If you don't do it, I'll preach it. If you don't like it, I'll preach it. If the deacons call a special meeting tonight and say, I've got to quit preaching, I'll preach it next Sunday morning again. I'll preach it. You're not supposed to neck and pet. One man is allowed to be in your temple. But any wildest woman, a young lady that goes to Hammond Baptist High School has a perfect right, or City Baptist High School, has a perfect right to expect to be able to have a date with some young man without him believing she has to hold his hand, kiss him in the neck and pet. That's paganism. And you are sacrilegious. I don't like that preaching. I don't like your living either. It's time we stop to realize that these lovely little young ladies growing up here, sweet, lovely, they're holy, they're sacred. So, well, you to flippantly have a date with one of them. Stop the car and reach over and put your arm around her and pull her to you. Is an equal sin to that of an Old Testament saint stripping aside that veil and walking inside that Holy of Holies and profaning that mercy seat. How holy. And let us keep it covered. Keep it covered. Be modest. Let the men wear the pants. First thing you always say, but Deuteronomy 22.5, there are other things in that chapter. I didn't mention Deuteronomy 22.5. I mentioned being feminine. I don't know of anything that makes me feel more like a failure than for some teenage girl to come to me and say, I can't go with the boys at Hammond Baptist High School. Because they expect you to do things I shouldn't do. I would be ashamed under God Almighty to be one of those boys. And you might shoot all the baskets in basketball and make a home run in baseball and make the touchdowns in football. I think you're a sissy. You don't have enough restraint to say no and leave that which is holy untouched until you have a right to do it. I think you're a punk. I think you're a sissy. You might do 100 push-ups with one hand. Do you have the willpower to obey God concerning the sacred and the holy? You're not a man. Let me tell you a man. A man, this young fellow who looks at a young lady and says, I'd love to touch those lips. They're beautiful. They're sweet. I'd love to place my lips against those. If you wouldn't love to, I'm worried about you. Let me tell you what manhood is. Manhood is saying, God, may those lips holy. I'd love to put my arms around her and draw that soft thing to my body. I'd love to. I'd love to reach out and put my cheek against that soft cheek. I'd love to. But a real man is one who says, that's holy. And for me to do that is profaning something that God Almighty has made sacred. And I will not do it. That's what you call manhood. The Bible says, he that controlleth his spirit is mightier than he that conquers a city. I want to say this quickly. We have hundreds of young people in this room whose fathers are men of God. You're a preacher's kid. And I want to say this. I'm a little tired of young folks complaining because they're preacher's kids. I'm a little tired of folks saying, well, I always lived in a glass house. You ought to thank God that God chose your dad to be one of his chosen servants. And that you got to grow up in a home with a man of God. I want to say this, but hear me carefully. In Leviticus chapter 21, we'll not turn to it. We're reminded in verse 9 that the body of the child of a priest was even more sacred than the body of a child that was not a priest. And it was a special sin for a preacher's kid or a priest's kid to be immoral. More so than for one that was not a priest's kid. Now you listen to me. If your dad's been called of God to preach the gospel, the Bible says that if you are unclean, I'm quoting, you profane your father. Did you hear me? For the child of God's man. And I get tired of folks saying, well, yeah, they expect so much more of us. Well, sure. If you grew up in Ted Williams' home, we expect you to know more baseball. And if you grew up in the home of some hockey player, if you grew up in Roger Staubach's home, we expect you to know more football than a normal child would know. And if you grow up in a man of God's home, God expects you to be cleaner than a normal child would be. And if you are a PK, a preacher's kid, and are not clean and not pure, there is a double sacrilege that God attributes to your sin. There's something else that's profane in the Bible. And by the way, I want to say this before I leave that. There's nothing in the world any sweeter and dearer than to see a young lady who's treated her body as carefully as the high priest treated the Holy of Holies. There's nothing more sacred than to see a young man who is willing, because of the respect he has for the body of a young lady. Oh, I can hear my mother now. When I was that high, son, she said the body of a little girl is sacred. Little girl's body is sacred. Little girl's body. Mother used to say to me, don't ever hit a little girl. So I hit a big one. My sister's 8 years older than I. But she said, don't ever hit a little girl. And I can hear her voice saying, the time I was able to understand, son, a girl's body is sacred. A girl's body is sacred. Don't ever be rough with a little girl's body. It's sacred. She said, God has chosen. I know what you meant. God has chosen girls to bring life into the world. I thought they were delivery girls, you know, dotted a baby and from the start dropped it and took it. That's all. But I can hear her now saying, the body of a young lady is sacred. Your little girl's body is sacred. I can hear her now saying, son, when your sister, don't you go into your sister's room without knocking. Don't you see your sister unclothed? And to this day, listen, you're talking to a preacher. This is a very touchy thing, but I'm going to say it. I've never seen my mother's thighs, nor my sister's. Because when we came out of the room in our house, we came out of the room dressed. And I don't believe that any one of our children has seen their dad in underclothing only. Now, I remember one time, LaVon Canavan joined the ISTPIHP club. She spent the night with Becky. You say, what is the ISTPIHP club? That's the I Saw the Preacher in His Pajamas club. I was making a break one night, walking down the hallway, coming from bathing and my pajamas, and I didn't know LaVon Canavan spent the night with us. But I found out. Oh, listen. Whatever happened to ladies and gentlemen? Whatever happened to propriety, dignity? Whatever happened to the sanctity of the human body? There's something else that's so holy in the Bible is profane. Misuse it, and that's the tithe. Leviticus 27:30 says, the tithe is holy unto the Lord. And the Bible teaches us for a person to rob God of that tenth of his income, he's guilty of profanity. When you spend it, you profane the holy. I remember that night, late one night, I was awakened in the church I used to pastor. Somebody knocked on the door. Big knock. I rushed the door. Fellow said, take it! He threw it at me. I said, take what? He said, take it! He said, it's burning my hands. I said, what is it? He said, it's $500 tithe. I owe God. I said, why didn't you wait till Sunday? He said, I might die before Sunday. I said, couldn't you wait tomorrow morning? He said, I might die during the night. He said, take it! He gave his $500 tithe. When you cross over the threshold into that 10%, you profane the sacred. First money I ever made was $3. 10 years old, from the Dallas Morning News route in Dallas, Texas. Got up at 3:20 every morning. Did you hear that? 3:20. Sometimes it got down, it got so cold it got down as low as 55. I remember one morning I was out and two snowflakes fell. I recall that first week I made $3 exactly. I got home and my mother said to me, she said, son, now you come here. She took one of those dollars and got 10 dimes and put in its place. And she said, now these three belong to God. I said, but Mama, I worked hard for them. I wanted to say God didn't throw those papers. Nor did God get up at 3:20 in the morning. Then she sat down and she taught me what she'd taught before. You know, it's a lot more fun to hear it before you had any money. And she said, these are God. I'll always be grateful. Because when you walk across the threshold into God's money and take it and spend it for your Christmas, you're being sacrilegious. More sacrilegious than the gal that stripped in Richardson, Texas church. Far more sacrilegious than the fellow that washed the car with the American flag. Yeah. Makes you, burns you up about the American flag being used for a car wash, doesn't it? Huh? You liked it a while ago when I said you shouldn't rush inside before the very presence of the President of the United States wearing a pair of dirty blue jeans. You liked that, didn't you? Let me ask you a question. Which is the most sacrilegious? For somebody to rush into the very presence of the President of the United States dressed in a pair of dirty blue jeans, a dirty T-shirt, or for someone to go to the very presence of God Almighty and take His money out of His treasury? There's a fourth thing that's so sacred it becomes profane for you to cross over the threshold, and that is God's name. I hate filth. I hate the fact that in our newspapers now they're actually putting dirty words in newspapers. I'll whip his, they use some dirty name for man's posterior. I hate that. I hate it. I can't comprehend people being so uncultured and unrefined that their vocabulary is so limited they have to use filth. It's a sign of weakness. He said, I'm not liking this sermon. You're the kind I don't want to like this sermon. It's a sign of not knowing enough decent words. I hate the filth. But if somebody uses dirty four-letter words in my presence, unless I'm in the presence of a lady who's with me or in my party, I will not speak up. If I'm sitting beside a man on the airplane, he uses dirty four-letter words, I won't say anything to him. But when he profanes the name of my Lord, I have no recourse but to speak. None whatsoever. You curse my mother, I'm going to have a talk with you. You curse my church, I'm going to have a talk with you. You curse my Lord, we're going to have a talk. Now, if you want to use dirty four-letter words about sex, I'll think it's deplorable. I want to say this too. Listen carefully. There are some suggestive things being said at some of our youth activities and in our high school that ought not to be said. There are some things being said that might be okay within the family circle at home, but are not appropriate outside it. I can, and I will, sit still and listen to filth and so forth, usually without making any rebuke or reprimand. But I just can't sit still when folks are cursing the name of my Lord. I was in a barber shop over here in downtown Hammond one day. Fella getting a haircut. Big fella, I guess he weighed 300 pounds. Every other word was a curse word. G-O-D-D-A-M-N. Oh my G-O-D. Jesus Christ. Every other word. He got up, finished his haircut, started to walk out, and I walked up and I said, I'm religious myself. He said, what do you mean? And I said, you're the most religious man I've heard in a long time. He said, what do you mean? And I said, look, I run with preachers, but I haven't heard a preacher use God's name as much as you've used it. I said, boy, you just use God's name all the time. You must be a very religious man. He began to blush. And I said, I'm not trying to be unkind to you. But I said, if I had cursed your best friend for 15 minutes, I think you'd say something about it. And I said, sir, you've cursed my best friend 15 minutes. I don't think you all do that anymore. Weeks ago, I was in Texas. I drove by a barber shop. I pulled in and just sat there and laughed for a little while. There was a barber shop where I went one day on a Saturday afternoon. Four barbers, each cutting somebody's hair, and 12 fellows waiting, I think it was. I think there were 16 people there, plus the barbers, 14, plus the shine boy, black shine boy, 21 of us, I think, there. I sat there. The head barber went on the shop, did nothing but curse. What a filthy mouth he had. Used God's name in vain, and I tried not to say anything. Would you believe it? When it came time for the haircut, I drew that big septic tank to cut my hair. I sat there and he kept cursing God's name. And I said, sir, I wish you wouldn't do that. That's my best friend you're cursing. He kept on. kept on. Madder I'd get, the more vulgar and filthy I'd get about God's name. You know how they do, you fellas used to anyway. They take it and they get shears. And they take it like this, you know, here and then here and then here and then here all around. He got where on this side of my head it was up this high. On this side of my head it's down like this. Half sheared. I took all I could take. I relived this the other day as I was sitting in front of the barbershop where it happened. Happened 25 years ago, I guess. All of a sudden, I jumped up and stood in the chair. And I said, "Shut up!" And he said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Let me tell you something." Had that smock around me. Stand up in the bar. And I'm not built like this. I don't like to do this. But I stood up in the chair, got my testament out. And I said, "Folks," I said, "for 15 minutes I've heard nothing but my God profaned." And I said, "It's the law of the land that a person deserves equal time." And I said, "I'm standing in this chair for 15 minutes and saying everything good I can about Jesus." And I stood up there for 15 minutes, only sermon in my life ever preached in a row. For 15 minutes. Haircuts, I think, were $1.50 those days. 15 minutes. I preached. Not a single barber kept cutting hair. Not a one. Everybody was still. Barbers were holding their scissors like that. Listen, that nut stand up and preaching. I preached for 15 minutes about Jesus. I told everything good about Him I could think of. Nobody was saying a word but the shine boy. The old black boy in the corner. The shine, you know how the McTune and the shine. While I was preaching, he was shining a guy's shoes. He was going, "Amen, amen, 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 amen." Only had half a haircut. When I finished preaching, I gave him 75 cents for half a haircut and walked out. First haircut you and I ever got in this town. Right. A barber shop down here on Calumet Street. You were 5 years old. We drove up there and they started cursing God's name. Remember it? And I said, I got up and I said, "Son, we're leaving. I'm not going to have to make my boy listen to my God's name cursed." And we walked out down Calumet Street, near 167th, 165th, and we're down there. 169th, somewhere. Walked out. Went to another barbershop. It just looks like to me there ought to be some things holy. The Word of God. The time. The body. There ought to be some things sacred once again. You ever noticed here? We read the Bible, we stand up. It's holy. I don't think you're disrespectful of the Bible if you don't stand up and read it. But I just sort of want folks to know that we think the Bible's pretty sacred around here. And all these years I've been preaching for 35 years, my churches have always stood to read the Bible on Sunday morning, Sunday night. Always have. Always have. I'm talking tonight to some people who are neglecting this book. I'm talking to some folks tonight who profaned this book. You've walked across the threshold and profaned this book because you neglect it. I'm talking to folks tonight, if we asked you to quote a scripture and somebody quoted Jesus wept before we got to you, you'd have to say, "She got mine." I'm talking to folks tonight that spent more time this week in the sport pages than did this book. And I spent my time in the sport pages this week. But I'll guarantee you one thing, God being my witness, no sport page ever takes second place in the number of hours I spend with this book. Holy! Sacred! Read it! 1981! Read it! Read it! Read it! Read it! Read it! Take the tithe. It's holy. Be sure God gets it. Be careful about His name. Don't say this year, "Oh, my Lord," it's hot. Don't say that. That's profaning God's name. "Oh, Lord, have mercy." Don't say that. Don't say that. And by the way, most of our slang comes from as a substitute for or abbreviation for God's name. When you say, oh, gee, you're just saying Jesus. Or you say, oh, my gosh, that's the substitute for God. Be careful. I'm a little concerned about... I think we ought to have a revival of the English language. I think we ought to have a revival of double negative still being wrong. I think we ought to know what a predicate nominative is. Did you notice how I said that two big words in a row? Just like that. Was that something? Boom, just rattle off. Just like that. I think we ought to know what those two words I just said are. How about the book? How about your time? How about your body? Heavenly Father, I believe I've been faithful to what's right and should be said on this subject. I've not said it as well as I should have said it. But I believe I've said what was right to say. And I pray you'd use it to the hearts of the people.